meow. Meow, meow, meow. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head.
Can you feel it?
The Freedom Fiends is the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Wasn't
the government trying to use a BIPCOT license or something at some, like recently?
Well, actually, you know, I got to play this thing that was on Free Talk Live today because this is What?
I don't know. What is this?
Oh, by the way, this is Diana Live. The Laughing Kitty. We have Jeremy and of course Michael Dean the Iron Hamster.
Yeah. This and, I built this.
You built this city.
I built this kitty on rock and roll.
You built this kitty on.
We have a refrigerator magnet with a cat playing electric guitar, and it has a mohawk. It's a good, you know, cartoon of one.
Aww.
And it says, "We built this kitty on rock and roll."
Aww.
Don't forget to ask me about Hitler.
I won't forget to ask you about Hitler.
Yeah. And Barack Obama's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. Bernie Sanders is a liar, a socialist, and he smells like tinkle. And Hillary's a socialistic liar, and her pantsuit stinks. And some other people dropped out.
And her pantsuit is ugly. Yeah, really Ted Cruz dropped out. Yeah, Kasich is hanging in there.
Her pantsuit is a hate crime, man.
It is a hate crime. It's an assault upon the eyes.
Okay, I got to play this. This is really weird. I don't know if this is like real or someone calling in and faking, but it's pretty darn funny. So let me go ahead and play this.
Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, my man, we was talking about stories. People coming to Liberty, I want to tell y'all what happened to me, how it went on.
I want to hear that.
So I'm sitting there minding my own business. This man comes up, he hands me a MP3 player. It's got the SD card, a pocket up on the inside. I was wondering about that. But they had all kind of episodes of the Freedom Fiends on there.
Yes!
Really?
And, yeah. And then
worms.
Oh, I know it, man. So I started playing that. I heard them talking about me becoming a Bitcoin millionaire after a while. And I thought to myself, man, that's a good idea. And, you know, before that, I was thinking Bernie Sanders going to come in, give me some free money, you know, and help everybody out. But now I see it through the eyes and perspective of Austrian economics. Man, that changed my world around.
So somebody just came up on the streets and handed you an MP3 player with an epoxied SD card, meaning the SD card was stuck in this player. You could not get it out.
Yeah. So I wouldn't pawn it, is what they said on the show, now that I heard it later, you know.
Now, where did this happen? You're in Pennsylvania. Where are you in Pennsylvania?
Kensington.
I don't know where that is. Is it near Philly or something? Or
well, it's not too far. It's kind of greasy over here, if you know what I mean.
Do you know who the person was, or was just some strange guy on the streets?
I mean, I guess it's one of them from the show.
Maybe it was Jim Babb. He lives in Philly.
Dope.
Well, that's an interesting story. And how long ago was that happened to you?
I guess about a week and a half, couple weeks ago, maybe.
Well, right on. I'm glad you found Free Talk Live from there. Joe, is there anything else you wanted to share of your story tonight?
Hey, that's about it, man. All I got to say is worms. This conversation covered by BIPCOT, no government license.
Great call. Appreciate it, Joe. I love the BIPCOT thing. That's Freedom Fiends came up with that. I don't know who it was. I don't know if it was Michael Dean.
I think it's Michael Dean. He's been promoting it heavily over in regards to the cell 411 is
BIPCOT licensed. Yes. Yeah. So the idea is that if you have the BIPCOT license, then government agents cannot use your product.
Right.
Is the idea.
And they have been. So now they're getting publicly shamed.
That's right.
That was funny.
That was spectacular.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you're wondering if it's actually for real?
Yeah, I think it is. But I was funny because I was sitting on the couch with my wife with my, I was sitting on the couch with my wife after after she got home from work. I went and picked her up. I had the car today. I was out doing errands. I went to the doctor's office appointment, and I'm having a good day. I almost feel like I'm not sick, but I got tuckered out walking around. I used a whole bottle of oxygen. I went to the oxygen store, picked up a 7-pack of oxygen bottles.
A 7-pack?
It's a 6-pack plus the one that I had, you know, that I carry. So it's
a baker's half dozen.
They come in a 6-pack, literally, of bottles. So then that was fine. That didn't take too long. And then I went to Walmart and the post office, and it was the first really warm day, and like I went out and like, ugh, people were teeming. There were long lines everywhere, and everyone smelled like butthole. Like I could literally like standing in line 5 feet behind people. These people needed to like wash their clothes and bathe.
Was this at the post office or a Walmart or both?
Both. and like people that smelled like butt who were acting really entitled. You know, if you smell like butt, you probably shouldn't act very entitled. That's what I think. You guys want to talk about politics. I want to talk about fun stuff. So,
well, I wanted to ask you about Kittler.
Kittler, we'll get
to
the
kitty.
No, too soon, man. Too soon. So, I came home and I was like, I've been working on this app that we're going to talk about, the Free Coast Financial Radio app. You should go right now onto the Google Play Store and search Free Coast, all one word, FreeCoast, Free Coast Financial Radio app. It's an Android app that I made for this streaming network that Steven Zeller, I think is his last name, Derek J's husband, boyfriend, live-in dude, brilliant guy, made this streaming network, kind of like LRN or the Fiends streaming network, but it's like 8 or 10 podcasts and radio shows I've never heard of. They're mostly from the Free Coast region, which is the sea coast, you know, the 18 miles of coast that New Hampshire brags about. You know, they always talk about, oh, we could secede. We have a coastline. We could do international trade. And I'm like, I guess, but, you know, Malibu, California has twice as much coastline as the state of New Hampshire. But, you know, that's where they live now. But there's this whole, like, enclave of liberty there that has nothing to do with Keene, and they've got these great podcasts that you've never heard. And well, like the audio's good, the content's good, the personalities are good, and it's all about like finance. And it's kind of like, you know, listening to Susie Orman if she was into like Bitcoin, you know, Susie
nice.
Orman, or the who's the other money guy on the radio.
Oh, what's his name?
He just tells dumb people. No. The Financial Beast, Financial Peace Plaza guy.
That's where
I got Financial Beast Plaza. I'm making fun of him. What's his name, DJ? She don't know. The financial guy you listen to in the car.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Anyway. I can't remember his name now either.
What? Dave Ramsey. Yeah.
He's a bully. Yeah.
He is a bully, people need tough love who call him. So, but this is like really solid stuff, like investment advice from people who use Bitcoin. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. And all these shows. And so I made a streaming app, you know, an Android app that just has like two buttons, like play and about. And we decided to use the pufferfish as the logo. I guess that's going to
be. I love that.
Like, it's the porcupine of the sea. You know, it's the spiny fish, yeah, the leave me alone. Yeah.
I like how you have them floating in the air.
I know. It kind of looks like a Marguerite painting, you know, surreal. Yeah, Dali. Hello, Dali, D-A-L-I. Yeah.
So, Dali, it's Dali.
So I was listening to that on the couch, and, you know, I was, before it went up on the Google Play Store, you know, I was making, like, different versions of it and just playing them myself and, you know, like, basically beta testing myself, being my own beta cuck tester. No, I'm not that. So, but I was like, I was tired of that. So I went and, you know, I said, I'm going to put on Free Talk Live for a minute. And DJ's like, oh, do you have to? But she likes it sometimes, but I don't know. So I put it on and like, I was like, no, I'm going to put it on. And I put it on. They were talking about me. So, you know, and she's like, wow, cool. You know,
aww.
So it was good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So Free Coast Financial Radio app, go get it. And I had you guys record a an ad right before the show. I recorded you over Fiend Phone, and I'm going to edit it together during the breaks, and it's going to be like in the podcast tonight. Like, that's how we work.
Wow.
That's how we roll. Yeah. So, Kittler.
Technology grand.
Kittler. Let's hear about Kittler. Yeah.
So, you guys have seen a picture of Kittler. It's this cat in my neighborhood that has
He's so cute.
He's got a Hitler mustache. He's a black and white kitty with a Hitler mustache.
Yeah.
Charlie
or it could
Chaplin.
Be a Charlie Chaplin. Yeah, there you go. But Kittler, you can't. The Kittler sounds much better. Yeah.
Too soon? Okay. So, like, I've seen Kittler in my backyard, but Kittler was in the neighbor's backyard, this house that has, like eight kids. They're all, like, you know, age 4 to 12. And, I literally, yesterday,
wait a minute, my kids are in that age range.
Yeah,
I know, but your kids are adorable.
Your kids aren't in my yard. I literally opened up my door yesterday and said, "Get off my lawn."
Sure you did.
I did. They were riding their bike in my driveway. And I'm like, no, it's, no.
All right, wait a minute. Well, I've actually uttered that phrase in my neighborhood, so.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm the grumpy old man in my neighborhood.
So Kittler was in this kid's yard, and I was kind of worried because, like, one of these kids bullies his little sister, and I'm like, oh, man, they're going to go mess with the cat. And I looked out there, and, like, the girl was playing with the cat, and the cat had a mouse. And, like, and then the bully came out and looked at the cat and was like, whatever, and went back inside. Like, it wasn't interesting enough for him to bully. And the girl was petting it and, like, pulling its tail, like, petting it, and not hard.
The mouse? Just,
yeah. And the cat could have run away, but was just like, okay, I'm getting petted and it's kind of rough and kind of like it. And
I have a mouse.
And I have a mouse. And I went and picked DJ up from work, and we came back, like, 40 minutes later, after doing some errands, and the cat was still playing with the mouse and was still alive. Cats are evil, man.
They are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime any of my cats ever brought me anything, I realized when catching them, you know, doing stuff like that and playing with, I always wondered how long they had played with that thing that they finally killed and brought me. I'm like, have you been working on this for like a day or something? Like,
I don't know. The head and the feet, because they're bringing you a meal and they're removing the parts that don't taste good. They're rewarding you for being a good hunter, because you leave and you come back and there's always food, so they think you're out hunting all day, which you kind of are. When DJ goes shopping, I say, oh, you're going hunting. Thank you.
Happy gathering.
Yep. All right. That's my intro. We'll be back.
Yay.
I'm going to go edit this ad. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem without firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Free Coast Financial Radio app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market,
but tell you how they make money in a variety of investment and artistic endeavors.
The Free Coast Financial Radio app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on finance, liberty, and technology from the coastal region of New Hampshire.
Because there's a lot more to New Hampshire than just Keene. Free Coast Financial Radio. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior audio quality.
The Free Coast Financial Radio app is covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license.
Go on the Google Play Store and search Free Coast, all one word.
And please, rate and review. Worms.
We're back.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, we're back. So, the news today, just so you know, because we're like all on top of the news and everything. And, I mean, what?
I was just going to say, it is really recent. This just literally just happened, right? So
yeah, so apparently, I don't know that Trump technically has a nomination yet, but he basically has a nomination.
Indiana?
Yeah, Indiana, the Indiana GOP primary. And then Ted Cruz dropped out, had many awkward, weird interactions with Fiorina. It was just like, I've seen a couple of those on the internet today, or yesterday and today. It's just like just their awkward kind of physical interchanges, like, you know, raising each other's hands and nobody could decide whose hand was supposed to be. I don't know. It was weird. And then they had a weird kind of hug thing going on today. And it was like, oh, God. Yeah. But I mean, it was just awkward.
I didn't see the hug one, the handshake, the raising of the hands thing that it did. You see the meme that was made out of it?
I don't know if I saw the meme. I just saw the GIF.
Well, yeah, they did. Well, somebody made a GIF
into a meme.
The GIF, yeah, whatever they are. But it just, you know, showing them do that over and over and over again, and over top of it, it just says the worst secret handshake ever. Because that looks like, it kind of looks, what they're trying to do is they raise their hand, they're fumbling with each other, so it kind of looks like they're trying to do some weird handshake. But when I saw that, I almost cried. I was laughing so hard this morning. I'm
like, yeah, that's yeah, that was really good. Yeah,
well, he's Ted Cruz was always very awkward. I mean, another one of the greatest things I ever saw. This and this
he was a nose picker, wasn't he?
Well, no, I don't think it picked. It fell out of his nose and he ate it or something, like it dropped out on his lip or something. But that wasn't even it. There's this one picture of him where he has the most awkward smile, and a lot of his pictures of him have this awkward smile. But somebody took this one picture of him with this very awkward smile, and underneath it, there's just the caption that says, "This human costume is itchy."
Memes are awesome.
Yeah, but he just, like, you know, the way he talks sometimes, and
just looks uncomfortable.
Yeah, it does. He always looks uncomfortable in his own skin. And now you have all these, I mean, there's so many different allegations and rumors being thrown out about him and towards the end that I'm surprised not that I pay that much attention, but just because I kept hearing about that stuff, I looked into it a little bit. I'm like, I'm surprised he's even still there to begin with. But
what? Okay, so I don't think I've heard about those.
There was scandals. I didn't read into them too much, but there was stuff with accusations about women, about sexual harassment and stuff.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and then other stories started coming out that he was just a real nasty piece of work behind the scenes to everybody, and you know, typical politician,
right?
Well, good, yes. Good riddance, Ted. One less something to worry about. I mean, not like it really matters. I didn't think I kind of thought it was a foregone conclusion that he was not going to be there anyway.
Right. Yeah, so it's going to be, it's looking very, very much like it's going to be Trump v. Hillary. You know, I don't know. I really personally don't have any strong feelings about it. I mean, it's just kind of like, we've joked about, you know, so kind of sitting back and laughing while we watch Western civilization burn kind of thing. And, you know, I mean, it's just... I mean, it's sad in a way, but at the same time, it's like not that I'm hoping or wishing for something terrible to happen as a result of either one of them, you know, getting into office, because we've already had a lot of really terrible things happen. But I think that this is one of the first elections that I can remember where people were extremely disillusioned with the choices. And I think that there are, you know, there are probably a lot more people than previously are just choosing to opt out of voting. And I don't know that they're necessarily doing it specifically to make a statement. I mean, I've had people, you know, accuse me, or not really accuse me, but just, you know, say, well, Diana, don't you want to have a voice in this? And I'm like, I'm exercising my voice. I am consciously and deliberately not voting for any of these D-bags, you know. So it's like, that's my voice right there, you know. And
well, you get pushback on that too, because then they'll say, well, no, I've gotten that, because when I used to say that, people say, well, they don't know you're not saying you're saying anything, they just think you're being apathetic. I'm like, okay, so it doesn't really matter at all. Okay, right. Great. I'm just gonna save my time anyway and stay home, thanks.
It's kind of like what it boils down to is like, do I want to waste my time with this? No. Anyway, we'll be back after this trip to the market. Worms.
Listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
And we're back. Just talking about old Donald Trump. And him de facto basically getting the nomination, the Republican nomination. you know, one of the things that's been going on now for a while, I mean, I guess ever since, maybe not ever since the very beginning of Trump's, you know, running for president, but there seemed to be an awful lot of folks calling themselves anarchists, and I don't mean this as an insult at all.
Yeah.
But I just don't understand how you can call yourself an anarchist and be for
just call him an A in that case.
An A. Like how you can call yourself that and support
A
any presidential candidate whatsoever.
I can't even, you know what? I'm so anarchist, I don't even want to talk about it. But I'm going to go back to editing. I just want to make sure you guys are still on. I haven't lost anything. But you know what? Yeah. I love Free Talk Live. But lately they've been saying, and the Freedom Fiends were complaining about us like twice. Like, no.
What?
We love them. I just can't listen to Mark Edge doing the Trump coin live read. It just disgusts me. But here's the thing. It's like, I don't even want to talk about politics. Like, you guys can, but it's like, really? You really want to talk? Like, you care about, not you, but people care about, like all my anarchist, so-called anarchist friends were, like, tweeting about somebody dropping out of the race today, and I'm like, you know, they're like, I don't vote. I'm anarchist. I don't vote, but I care about what happened. And I'm like, there's an election.
Right, I'm over here like eating my popcorn. There's an election.
I'm over here looking at cats, man. I'm gonna go edit this Kittler. I'm gonna go edit this ad for Free Coast Financial Radio. All right, have fun, guys.
Yeah,
I'll be back.
Okay, well, we're not gonna talk about it for long, so don't worry.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, cats, it's just it just blows my mind. I mean, it's just it's very confusing to me. I don't, and when I've read or when I've pointed out, how can you be an anarchist? How can you call yourself an anarchist, which means no ruler? Technically that is what that means. Support a rule, a potential ruler. What are your thoughts on that very quickly? And then we'll move on to something else. More exciting.
Well, he's not here now. We can talk about whatever we want. There's a lot of people I know that use the reality argument, which is funny because they get mad when other people use it with them. But you know, this is what we have to deal with, and it can be better in certain circumstances, which is,
so change it from within, like, well, change, no, no, it, not, like, not, somehow,
not,
like,
not even, a lot of people that, at least that I know, anarchists and libertarians alike, that use the defensive voting argument. they're saying that, you know, basically it's, so they're going to force somebody on you anyway, which is true in the current paradigm. Somebody's going to win.
These are some of the ones that think that they are using their voice, I guess, by voting or supporting someone.
These folks just, I think, at least the ones I know, are more of, they know it necessarily doesn't matter, but if there's a chance, you know, just like the Libertarian Party, who thinks if there's just a chance that the one little thing that could be changed, that we have to go for it because it's still an improvement. It's that type of attitude. I mean, that's the whole idea behind Walter Block and that faction of the Libertarians that are actively campaigning for him to get the nomination. Although I could have swore when he first came out with that argument, he was saying that he should be, you know, for president. Then he had to he backtracked to saying it was just to get him the GOP nomination, not necessarily the presidency. But in either case, it's that type of argument. It really is the lesser of all the evils, because according to Walter Block,
it's still evil.
Well, yes, but according to Walter Block, Trump is actually the most libertarian candidate.
Okay.
Which is scary, but that's his justification. That's always been his justification. But people like him follow Rothbard and others like him who still tried to use the system because it was there and because it was going to be there no matter what. They figured they might as well try. Well, you know, that's basically how the Libertarian... I mean, they founded the Libertarian Party originally not to be a political thing, but it ended up becoming one anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought at the end of the day, though, Rothbard kind of backtracked on that. No?
Yeah. Because he spent the first... Well, not the first part of his career, but in the, I guess, the middle of his career, he started...
He's a minarchist.
Well, no, but he also tried... He tried, even after he started forming what he called anarcho-capitalism, he tried to work with the leftists. Like, he really thought there was a way that he could bridge the gap somehow. And that went horribly, horribly wrong. So he gave up on that. And then he decided to try to work with the people on the right, the neo-conservatives, I guess. Well, not the neo-conservatives, but whoever the factions were at that time.
Right.
More. And he tried that. And he had more success with them because, you know, on the right side of the paradigm tends to be more people who at least give more lip service to the free to the free market and
small like government
that. Small government, so there is more of more similarities there, you know, right off the bat,
at least
so
ideologically that, maybe
yeah exactly yeah in theory yeah.
Right,
in practice it's often very, very different, of course. But so he tried, and then I do believe towards the end he finally just threw his hands up. It's like, I can't work with either set of these people. It's just not gonna happen. Because it's, you know, they're still so stuck in the system itself that even if once they see problems, they can't. So they still can't put the pieces together and recognize the bigger picture. It's always just, well, we can fix this little thing here, or we can fix this little thing there, and if we just get the right people in place.
If only. Yeah. The great man is out there somewhere.
Well, when you have a society that believes...
He has a unicorn for a pet.
Well, how many great, you know, the great man theory. There's so many of them in the history of this silly little country alone.
Yeah.
all those people that are held up, including the one that, you know, Steve Miller may argue doesn't exist at all, or never existed at all, rather. But that's how they're trained. They're trained to believe in great men, even though most of those people are horrible, horrible, horrible men.
Right.
Much less great ones, but
and they're just people, you know. I mean, some of the sayings that I love are all about, you know, some of the, you know, quotes, and I can't, like, off the top of my head think of an exact quote by an exact person, but, you know, just basically saying that, you know, there's no human being on this earth that is fit to rule over me. Yep. Not a single one. And so if that's the case, then why would I participate in a process that would enable that person to be in a position to rule over me, you know? And I mean, I don't know. I mean, that just makes sense. And it's like, I feel like if it's broken down that way, you know, who is fit to rule over you, statist? Really? Like, who is fit to do that? Well, they don't rule. It's a democratic process. Oh, yeah. Okay, so majority rule then, which is basically still tyranny, because you've got, the minority that are having to suffer the consequences of you know, what the majority chooses for them, kind of thing. And it's just, yeah, so.
Yeah, it's, well, they're all, well, I mean, what was it, was it a Churchill quote? The democracy is the worst form of government, except all the rest. Something along those lines.
Yeah. Well, it's better than all the other ones, so we may as well just, like, make the best of it.
Exactly. That's kind of the attitude. But, I mean, most of the thinking is based on that. That it's better than the other horrible alternative. So, well, yeah, well, there's still another choice. You know, we could try freedom. How about that? You know,
yeah.
a couple of people have given that lip service in the past, but how about we actually try it this time? You know, there's a novel idea. But yeah, people just want to. No. It can be fixed. It can be fixed. I swear it can be fixed.
People see a void and, you know, it's like, of course, nature abhors a vacuum kind of thing. But human beings also abhor a vacuum or what they perceive to be a vacuum. And so if happens to be, you know, I mean, just the idea of the lack of a government just terrifies people, you know. You know, it's like, what would happen after that? I mean, I've had the experience of saying anarchy is not a scary word and it just means no ruler. And then people come back to me saying, you know, anarchy is a very scary word. I'm like, to who? You know, break it, you know, just like break it down and really think about it. Like, why is this scary to you? And think about what it could mean. It doesn't mean, you know, it means to a lot of people, you know, chaos, which chaos might not be such a bad thing. I mean, you know, that's how order does arise out of chaos, you know, spontaneously. Yeah, and exactly. Right. And kind of the way things ought to be, I guess, in a way. And I don't know. I mean, I think the best solution is the free market, ultimately, you know, let the people choose. Each individual choose, you know, and let each individual live on a voluntary basis, you know, voluntarily interacting with people and you know, disassociating with people that they don't want to interact with. And I don't know. It just makes sense to me.
You can't do that. That's discrimination.
and discrimination has gotten this bad, has gotten a bad rap. It's just the word discrimination.
All the buzzwords that people use are usually words that don't necessarily really mean what they're being, you know, they're twisted to make it horrible. You know, even greed for the most part, you know, just these words are trumpeted out. It's like, well, no, greed's not really... You know, it's selfish. Yeah, it's wrong to be selfish. No, that's called self-preservation. There's nothing wrong with that. You know,
right? And having self-interest, you know, or you know, kind of focusing on self-interest has an interesting habit of having a ripple effect and actually benefiting the people around you as well.
Well, sure.
Yeah,
that's people want to make money. Okay, how do you make money in a free market situation? You come up with a product or service. So you do that to make money for yourself and or your family. But in the process, you're providing something that people want to buy that you're making their lives better. Amazing how that works.
I know. Yep. Anyway, so we're about to take a break and we're going to the market and we'll be right back.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
That's right. Done talking about politics.
Good, because I finished editing this ad. I'm going to play it. I'll play it over the speakers. It won't sound as good as if it was like, you know, you're listening directly, but you know, that's how we roll here. We do things immediately and professionally and you know, like
why waste time?
Yeah, it's going to be weird though in the podcast because I'm going to have Scott edit this into the first segment. So like we'll talk about it, then it'll play, and then like a half hour later I'll be like, okay, I just finished play it. Yeah. All right, so here you go. Here.
Are you tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem without firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Free Coast Financial Radio app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market,
but tell you how they make money in a variety of investment and artistic endeavors.
The Free Coast Financial Radio app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on finance, liberty, and technology from the coastal region of New Hampshire.
Because there's a lot more to New Hampshire than just Keene. Free Coast Financial Radio. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior audio quality.
The Free Coast Financial Radio app is covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license.
Go on the Google Play Store and search Free Coast, all one word.
And please rate and review.
Worms.
There you go.
That was awesome. That sounded really good.
Well, it sounded like you did it together.
Yeah, I kind of did.
I used like movie magic, but for audio only in my editing. Yeah.
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 It's magic.
So I guess it's a teaching hospice. I'll tell what I did. So I had
sped
both
me up.
You. Yeah, I sped you up a bit. I did, man, because you're so laid back. You're not very like ad-tastic. You're great.
I need to work on that.
Well, you have a voice that's sexy. It makes Barry White sound like Gilbert Godfrey. But, you know. Doesn't really fit into the 30-45 second radio format. So I sped you up. I normalized both. First of all, I recorded you guys over Fiend Phone. And there were like, you know, some places where you messed up and stuff. So I cut those out. And then I pulled them into a multi-track program called Vegas and put one of you each in one track and then just listen for the better take of each of you, of each section, and then cut that other one out. So it went from, you know, good Diana to good Jeremy to good Diana to good Jeremy.
Nice.
And then I did a little EQ on it, added a little high end because, you know, Fiend Phone eats a tiny bit of it over the airwaves. And then let's see, what else did I do? Short some things up. Oh, there's some places where there's some plosives, like, you know,
yeah.
Like on P's and B's. So I like on those parts, I highlighted those and turned the volume down to 50% and then like lowered the bass on just those little tiny, you know, sub syllable parts.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, then I cut out spaces and just kind of cut out breaths because there's some real like breaths. And then, and then found some music that I had.
That was my Vader impression.
Yeah, I hadn't reused too much in too long. And it's Nima and me doing the We Will Not Disarm music from Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. And then, let's see, got it just right. Turned the volume, like, the music isn't the same volume all the way through. Like, it starts out louder and then gets quieter and then in the end fades out before you say the worms. So it kind of punctuates the worms. And then I exported it as a WAV file and then normalized that. And that's what we did. So that took about 40 minutes. Yeah.
Not even.
Yeah, not even. Not even.
Yeah.
And it was, and it turned out awesome. I think.
It did. It sure did. Yeah.
Yay.
Yep. Just like I suspected that Diana won, so she had more better takes.
No, you each had the same number of takes. I mean, it's equal. It's socialist. Everyone wins. Yeah. Yeah.
We both get a participation prize.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. All right. So what's the topic?
Now we're back down to the evils of the world.
Yeah.
Participation.
Yeah.
I hate participation.
Yeah, but you know, it's time for. Go ahead, Diana.
Oh yeah, I was just well, one of the other, because you know we were talking about, you know, anarchists voting for their slave masters, which makes absolutely no sense to me at all. But also too, there's been a lot on Facebook that I've been reading about anarchists that don't feel it violates the non-aggression principle to corporally punish their own children. So maybe that's something that we can talk about when we come back.
Children, you gotta discipline children.
Yeah, of course.
Them, but you don't hit them.
Yeah, you know, I was a peaceful parent before peaceful parenting was cool.
You're both peaceful parents. So
I was like the OPP, the original peaceful
cool
parent.
It was cool in the '50s, man.
What the '50s? Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But then it got lost for a while.
Yeah.
Then it got back. All right, we'll be back for hour 2 of Green Beans after this trip to the free market.
The central scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Trash View and not a Vista. That's where I live.
Broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So we're back. This is Jeremy. Michael Dean has joined us again. And Diana.
Hey,
how you guys doing? Meow. I'm not even gonna. I'm gonna leave after. You need to go.
You need to go rest that voice of yours.
So,
go ahead.
So the name of this episode is gonna be, and I can just say it because Scott's listening. He's the editor tonight. Using Fiendbot. By the way, I sent out a bunch of buttons today and a bunch of BIPCOT masks and a bunch and flags and Fiendfest Somalia flags, and man, there's a lot of more fiends vibrating into the world tonight. So that's
yes, good thing. But the spirit of the fiends,
it is, man. If you, any fiends that don't have the BIPCOT surgical mask yet, Derek J has yours, and we'll give it to you at Porkfest. So the name of this episode, Scott, is "You, sir, comma, are worse than Kittler."
Oh, you got to have a picture of Kittler, though.
No, we're going to have a picture of Gigi Allen.
Right.
All bloody and saying, what does it say? It says something like,
I was spanked and I turned out fine.
My dad spanked me all the time and I turned out fine, which he never, as far as I know, never actually said, but he said something to the effect of like his dad beating him and scaring him by digging like graves for the whole family in the basement. He said it made him a warrior soul. So he not only said he turned out fine, he said he turned out great because his dad tortured him. That guy's twisted. That guy like died of a heroin overdose, bloody, and then like people went to his funeral and peed on him, and people go to his grave in Lancaster. Where is it? It's
New Hampshire.
Go.
Yeah.
Yes. He was born in the same town as Porkfest. Mm-hmm. So who's Gigi Allen? Explain the majesty that is Gigi Allen, Jeremy.
Well, Gigi was an interesting character.
He lives.
Name was actually Jesus.
His name is Jesus. His dad named him Jesus.
That's right. His dad. He wanted him to be the second coming.
Poor guy.
His name is Jesus Christ Allen. But his little brother couldn't pronounce Jesus, so he called him Gigi. And so that name stuck.
Aw, I think it's really sweet.
Yes.
Yeah, but he was, I don't know. I mean, he was a musician because, I mean, he wasn't just always into punk, right? He did like all sorts of music for a while, didn't he?
He did country.
Yeah.
He actually did a record. He did a country record with, who's the guy that did the song? He's mentioned in the song, the perfect country song, you know, the one, David Allan Coe. Like the singer's like, well, I said I wrote the perfect country and western song, and my friend David Allan Coe said it's not the perfect country western song because you didn't talk about trucks or trains or rain or mama or drinking. And he adds another line, which is something like, I was drunk the day that mama got out of prison.
Got out of prison. Oh, yeah, I know that song.
Prison. Yeah. And I went to pick her up in the pickup truck in my
rain. In the rain.
Yeah. He did a record with that guy. But and his first stuff
that's
was
David Allan
like,
Coe, yeah.
Yeah, but his first record was just kind of like rock and roll. And then he did a lot of punk and then like country. And really catchy tunes, man. I mean, horrible titles. Like he has a song called "Expose Yourself," and it's a line. The chorus is "Expose yourself to children."
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but he did have a nice range on his voice, though. As crazy as he was.
Yeah.
That was the thing that shocked me about him. When you first introduced me to him. Like I saw, you know, when you type him into YouTube.
When I brought him over to your house.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
When you cannot be named, brought him over to your house.
That never happened. We're not going to talk about that again. I thought we'd discuss this.
Okay, I need to hear about this.
No. All right, so you guys are going to talk about peaceful parenting, and I'm going to go rest my voice. And
yes.
But yeah, there's going to be this picture of a bloody G.G. Allen talking about how he got beat and he turned out just fine, which is something people say. And it's ridiculous.
Everybody says that. Yeah.
So go peacefully parent, and I'm going to go rest my peacefully parent my voice.
There
take care, kids.
All right.
Have a great show.
You too.
Bye.
Right.
Worms.
Thanks for your service, MWD. Yes.
You too. Bye, Mama.
Bye. Okay, so yeah. This is a topic that I feel really very strongly about, and typically as I've kind of discovered recently, or become a lot more aware of some of the fear I have with expressing myself, which I've kind of from reading, and we're going to talk about more of this later. Sterling, is it Lujan? Lujan. Okay, his website is Psychologic Anarchist. And so we're going to cover an article a little bit later in the show, but you know, just from reading some of his stuff, it's not that I've like all of a sudden become super angry at my parents or anything again, but I've just kind of realized, you know, that realized at a deeper level how you know the fears that I have today are kind of directly related to, you know, some of the ways that I grew up and some of the ways that my parents spoke to me and all this other stuff. And, you know, I don't ever say that I was abused. But way before I ever heard of peaceful parenting or any of that stuff, it never made sense to me why someone would hit their kids. I mean, that's the bottom line. That people say, oh, it's not hitting, it's spanking, you know, or as long as you don't beat your children and you just spank them, then that's okay. And I'm like, semantics,
it's discipline. It's not hitting them.
And if you don't spank your children, then you have some undisciplined buttholes running around being disrespectful to all these authority figures. And God forbid we should have that, you know. And I mean, it's just it was interesting because, you know, one of our other co-hosts on the show made a comment on Facebook earlier, and I certainly don't want to disrespect him. And what he said, because I mean, a lot of us were raised and you know, we're raised a certain way, and the only way that I guess our parents really knew to discipline us was through corporal punishment. And you know, and I know, Jeremy, I'm not making excuses for them or anything like that. I'm just saying that's just the, you know, that's the fact of the matter, you know, but I always knew there was something messed up about it. I mean, I think that when I really realized that was when I had a friend spank her son for hitting another kid. And as she was spanking him, she was like, "Do not hit."
Whoa.
And I had already made up my mind I wasn't, you know, was not going to spank my daughter. But when I saw that or when I witnessed that, it was just, I mean, it was definitely just, you know, I had absolutely was against spanking from that point on. And, you know, one of the people, I guess, in this quote unquote movement that I guess we're sort of a part of is Christopher Chase Rachels. I have a lot of respect for him, and he talks a lot on his Facebook page about corporal punishment. And he wrote something really, I thought was really, I don't know, to me it just kind of like explains it so well. And to not understand that or not get it to me is like willful ignorance in a way. And And he talks about, you know, that he was blocked by someone because he apparently spoke crudely to this person's mother, and that and what he goes on to say is that the mother's position mirrors that of the majority in this country who erroneously believe there is a distinction between spanking and abuse. There is no difference. Spanking is just a convenient euphemism for aggression, just like taxation is for theft. Hmm. I thought that was pretty good. And you know, in order to reveal these misleading euphemisms for what they are, we need to make such crude comparisons to wake people up to this, to the truth that there is no principal difference between, say, a master whipping his slave and a parent spanking his child, or a husband beating his wife. And yeah, that, and his saying that is controversial. I mean, it gets people, you know, it's a trigger, you know, people, and especially, I think that it was the reference to a master whipping his slave that was offensive to this person's mother. And I'm not going to mention the person by name, but, you know, and he goes on to say, you know, everyone has a right to self-defense. They can use the force against an aggressor as punishment, but the vast majority of corporal punishment is not in response to prior acts of aggression on the part of the children. You know, and then, you know, and I mean, there was like another post, and I don't know if it was his post, and somebody was saying that they had to spank their son because their son was bullying another girl, was bullying a kid. And this person and this mother felt that was the best way to discipline her child for that she had never spanked him before, and that was the only reason why she spanked him, was so that he would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is wrong to be mean to girls or something like that.
Don't hit him, because I'm going to hit you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that there's just, for me anyway, so much cognitive dissonance around that. You know, it's just, you know, if we're, you know, or if I don't want to say we, because I'm a mouse in my parka, whatever, that, you know, if I'm going to strive for peace, you know, if that's my goal, is to strive for peace, how is any violent action going to be any part of that, unless it is, you know, in self-defense?
Sure.
Or in defense of, like, I mean, I would probably aggress against someone, or I would defend someone that I love, you know, my child included, you know, someone who's close to me. I would probably be very much inclined to do that. But it has never made sense to me. And it makes even less sense to me now that, you know, I'm a voluntarist, anarchist, whatever you want to call me, who is, you know, really, really does my best to adhere to the non-aggression principle. So.
Yeah. I'll have to talk more about that when we get back, because some of the things you mentioned, it's funny, I actually have a slightly different take on them.
Okay, then.
we'll get into that.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Meow meow. Meow meow. Meow 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 meow. So we're talking about corporal punishment. And is it a good thing? I don't think so. What do you think, Jeremy?
Not particularly. But I was gonna touch on some of the things that you had said before the break. Because I just found it interesting where you know, the one thing you said, you know, you saw a friend of yours use that, you know, for a child when they had hit another child. And, you know, you said it, you had kind of already figured it out, but just that kind of like recognition of seeing it in front of you going, you know, don't hit as they're hitting them. I was hit quite a few times, and I always rationalized
as I
deserved it, and you know, because I had done some pretty bad things when I was young.
I never thought I deserved it,
but I justified it at a certain point in my life, but
I had that
same realization while I still was justifying it. But one of my favorite comedians actually had a joke about that. Bill Engvall, one of the guys from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour with Larry the Cable Guy and Jeff Foxworthy and all them. He had a joke about that I heard, you know, years ago, where he just said, you know, because his whole bit was about here's your sign and giving signs to stupid people so you wouldn't ask them questions and they, you know, you wouldn't be bothered by them and just remember stupid people. Because, you know, his whole thing is, you know, warning labels are for stupid people because, right, you know, most things are the most ridiculous things in the world. But he said the one time his son was like 5 years old or something. He was playing with another little boy and his son hit this kid and he walked right up to him and he hit him on the butt and he's like, looked him in the eye and said, hey, we don't hit. And he said, my son looked at me and goes, here's your sign, Dad. Because it's like, you know, that just that recognition of, you know, don't hit. But what do you mean don't hit? That isn't that what you're doing to me? So that started with the wheels turning for me, but I still didn't give it much thought until I had kids. And then even when I did, I just immediately went thought back to what I was taught by what happened to me. And oh yeah, if it comes to it, I probably will. And luckily I found peaceful parenting actually just, you know, only my girls were, I think, less than a year old when I found it. So it kind of worked out. The timing worked out really well. But the argument itself just, you know, it doesn't, it no longer makes sense. You know, like you said, once you think about it, it doesn't really, you know, because for somebody like me, I try to follow the non-aggression principle as much as possible. And I'm trying to teach it to my kids. And I never understood how you could teach it. How am I supposed to teach it to them by saying, well, there's this exception here.
Right.
You know, only hit in self-defense or defense of others, as you were talking about before.
Right.
But how is me, or anybody for that matter, you know, spanking, whatever you want to call it, you,
right,
when you're not, you know, when you're, they're not defending anybody else. Like, how is that, how is that, you know, different? And, you know, I just, some of the justifications I see people make and the, the leaps, the you know, the hoops people will jump through. Because I have friends, you know, it's one thing because I know plenty of people, even some anarchists and libertarians, who don't necessarily agree with the NAP, or they don't want, they say they have no interest in it and they're not going to abide by it. Okay, fine, you know, you don't have to. It's not a law, it's a principle. You can choose
right.
You know, you could choose to follow it or you're not.
Yeah.
So those people,
but I can criticize you for that if
absolutely. But but that's, you know, that's one thing. But there's other people who follow, or at least claim to, the NAP that I know that I'm friendly with, that will still make the argument that it doesn't apply to children.
Yeah.
And that they still can use that if necessary. And of course, they'll always couch it with, well, as a last resort. It's like, well, no, I think striving for consistency is usually a very good thing in situations like this. And sure, people are going to slip up and people are going to have, you know, they're going to break down and maybe do things out of an emotional state. You know, that happens to everybody, but to the best of your ability. And in this situation, because like you said, I mean, people, they euphemize it away. That's not even
right. Exactly.
it's hitting. It's
I know what you mean.
It's, you know, that's what it is. And you could say you only do it once, you only do it twice. It doesn't matter. You're still striking once or twice. And would you use that same discipline? Because that's another word. They call it discipline. Mm-hmm. Would you use that same discipline?
And discipline is like, it stems from like love, actually. The word discipline has its root in love. Yeah.
Yeah. But even still, would you use that type of quote unquote discipline on your partner?
Right, exactly.
On your friend, on a neighbor, mm-hmm. on a family member, on a complete stranger, on an older child who could do something about it.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Then why would you do it to a younger child? And the most common answer is, well, because they don't understand. You can't logic.
No.
You can't use logic and reason with them.
That's okay, not
that's
true.
Great. Well, no. to a certain extent, it is. But if you can't use logic and reason with them, how do they understand the reasoning that you're hitting them?
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Jeremy, the bellicose bandicoot, and Diana, the laughing kitty. Oh, did I get it wrong before?
No, you just didn't say it at all.
Oh, I didn't say it at all. I know. It was like, it was on the tip of my tongue. It's kind of, it's words, man. Words are hard.
Speaking is tough.
Speaking is tough, man. So we were talking about corporal punishment, and just from my experience, I was spanked, whatever. I'm not going to say. It's kind of funny because I posted somewhere that was I spanked? Yes. Did I turn out fine? That's debatable. Because that's one of the things that when people say, yeah, I turned out fine, I'm thinking, well, do the people around you think you turned out fine? So it's definitely a matter of perspective. But I don't know, for some reason with my daughter and it wasn't like I had an awful lot of role models, like great role models for parenting. But what the discipline, and it was discipline, it was something that my daughter really responded to very well. And it takes work. It takes work to raise your children. And I think that spanking is kind of the lazy way to is also not only I feel is it aggressive and wrong, but it's also kind of the lazy way to discipline your kids. The way that I would discipline my daughter was I used timeout. Timeout worked for her. I know that timeout doesn't necessarily work for all kids. I mean, because I've seen it not necessarily work for all kids, but for my daughter, it did work for her. For whatever reason, she was really good about sitting there, and she would sit there and she would cry, but she would still sit there. Mm-hmm. But more so than time out, what I did, and we talked a little bit about reasoning with your kids, is I did the best that I could to reason with my daughter. I was not a baby talker. I didn't talk down to her. I did try to talk to her in a way that was more on her level, that I felt that she could understand. And a lot of what I did was I asked her questions like, she would be in timeout and I would come and talk to her and I would say, Caitlin, do you know why you're in timeout? And she would say, typically she would know why. I mean, she would know why she was in timeout. But we would talk more about it. Well, what do you think you could have done differently? What would have been a better thing to do? And a lot of what I used with her was actually the golden rule, especially if, it was involving her, aggressing against another kid or against, me or something, like, how do you think that the other child felt when you bit them?
Yeah,
you know,
I deal with that with my kids.
I know. My daughter was a biter. Yes. My daughter was not.
She bites her sister.
Right. And so, you know, it's like, how do you think the other kid felt when you bit them? Well, and typically she would say, yeah, I think it probably hurt. Well, yeah. How do you think you would feel if you know, if that kid bit you? Well, it would hurt. Well, why do you want to hurt other people? You know, don't you want to treat other people the way you want to be treated? Mm-hmm. So if you don't want other people to bite you, then perhaps you should not bite them. Sure. You know, and I mean, and that's just an example. I mean, it was probably definitely a little bit more on her level. Like, I probably didn't say perhaps, you know, and stuff like that. But it just, it worked, you know, and it's, kids are way smarter than I think a lot of people give them credit for. I think kids Definitely. Understand a lot more than people give them credit for. They are human beings. They are. You know, they're not your property. Yeah. You know, you are their steward, and you are responsible for them. But they're not your property. You know, they're separate, completely different entities than you. And that's where I stand, and I'm sticking to it. So,
I would agree with you. Well, definitely that they're not property. I hate when people make that argument. That drives me up a wall.
Right.
But yeah, I understand why most people say that you can't use logic and reason with a child. Well, sure, at the beginning, but you have to help them learn that.
And exactly.
To just say, oh, they don't know it, so I'm not going to use it. Well,
you have to teach them that.
But, yeah. How are they going to figure that out? I mean, that's part of the problem. I mean, I talk about that all the time when it comes to the government schooling and how they purposely don't teach logic in anything other than mathematics. So yeah. That it's not something you learn until later. And it's basically presented as, oh, you'll get to this later in life when you're a little older. Well, no, kids can mm-hmm. learn it much younger. They're just, if you yeah. give them the opportunity to, and like you said, you tried it and it worked, then sure, mm-hmm. would it work in every situation? No, it may take a little longer with certain mm-hmm. kids. But
it might be harder with certain kids. I'll tell you what, I feel like I really lucked out with her. Yeah. I really do. I was so scared I would get a kid like me.
Well, I see. I was always told I was going to. My mom always tried to beat that into my head that she. You know,
my
she
mom
like,
did the same
she,
thing.
She wished like six of me on me. I think.
Oh my god!
But
my mom did the same thing to me.
She and the funny thing is I didn't think for the longest time I actually didn't think I wanted kids until I found out that I was going to have kids.
Me either.
I got really excited about it.
Me but, too.
Back when I was younger, my mom would say, you know, I wish this on you, you know, you're going to get somebody just like you. And I, even then I said, listen, if I do ever have kids, no, that's not the way it's going to work. I'm going to get girls. I'm going to get all girls because that would be my punishment because I would be the overprotective dad. That would have
plus
to, like,
you've been surrounded by girls your whole life too.
Yes. And so sure enough, when I found out that I was having a kid, I was like, well, yeah, I know it's going to be a girl. And everybody's like, oh, you can't possibly know. And then when we found out it was going to be twins, mm-hmm. I said, it's going to be two girls. And they said, and everybody kept saying, there's no way. And we went for the first ultrasound that we could tell what they could tell it was. The nurse came out and said, do you want to know? I said, I already know what it is. She said, how could you possibly know? I said, I guarantee you I know.
All and, your sperms are X's.
Yeah. So, and sure enough, two girls. Yeah. So.
Can you say sperm on the radio?
I don't know. You just said it twice.
It's a scientific term. Yes, anyway.
But anyway, so it is. So yeah, but the whole point is you have to teach your kids at some point. They have to learn how to use logic and reason in order to get so much further in life. Why not use the opportunity right. when you're younger? And I also wanted to mention the whole reason that a lot of this talk started getting started up again is because there was a huge study that came out. There was an article about it. There were a bunch of articles about it. Within the last couple of days that mm-hmm. was published in the Journal of Family Psychology. And this is, they did like research on like 50 years worth of data.
I read
and
that.
Going through all this stuff. Yeah. And it basically says like the findings of this. And yes, I've heard plenty of people say, oh, it's just one study. Well, it's probably the most extensive study done on this topic,
right,
to date. So to just dismiss it without even reading it is kind of foolish. But the overall finding is that, you know, the quote is, we found that spanking was associated with unintended detrimental outcomes,
right,
and was not associated with more immediate or long-term compliance, which are the parents' intended outcomes when they discipline their children.
Yeah.
Basically meaning you're not getting the results you're seeking on the whole, because the compliance people, most people perceive as compliance that they receive when their kid listens because they're spanked and they weren't done again. Well, yeah, they may not do it again because they're afraid of spanked again, which
yes,
you may, you know, people take fears. Well, they're complying. That's all that matters. Well, no, that also imprints something on them that violence gets you things. Violence gets you what you want because that's, you used violence to get what you wanted and you did, and it was successful. So, you know, and it's not that it turns every child who was spanked into this horrible, you know, vicious person, but it increases the percentages of it, the chances of it by a long shot.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what people, I think a lot of people just want to get, you know, steadfast on one side or the other. It's like, well, no, it's not going to always happen, of course.
Right.
But, you know, I equate it to seatbelts. Like, I hate wearing my seatbelt, but I understand why they, you know, why it's there, and I'm taking the risk by not wearing it. But I, you know, I use that argument with other people too. It's like, okay, well, if there weren't laws everywhere for you to wear your seatbelt, would you still wear it? And most people I talk to would say yes, because they want to feel safe. They want to be protected. It's like, okay, so, you know, why?
Yeah, because driving is kind of a dangerous thing if you really think about it.
It is. So, like, so just because you wouldn't have to wear them, should you just go out and tell everybody, well, just don't wear your seatbelts now? It's like, well, no, because you're increasing the chances of now dying if something happens. You know, just, you know, same with smoking. Does everybody who smoke get lung cancer? No.
No. Yeah.
But does that mean you should go tell people to go ahead and smoke because you may not get it?
Right.
No, that doesn't. Most people look at you and go, well, no, that's ridiculous. So for me, it's the same thing with spanking. It's like, okay, this has a very good chance of it increases the chances of detrimental behavior down the road.
Yeah.
And why would you take that chance?
Right. And how many scholarly, peer-reviewed articles have come out in support of spanking and how it's actually a good thing and result. I mean, yeah, like you said, I mean, the article did say, yeah, it results in potentially stopping that kid's behavior, but, you know, more than likely they're just going to do it. They're going to still do what they want to do and just do it in order to not get caught.
Well, yeah, you know? or just, like I said, it just gets acted out later in life because that's just the lesson they learn, and they'll use that to their advantage later. And that's where, I mean, I talk about the cycle of violence all the time, and that's where it starts with that type of stuff, where, you know, you get taught this contradiction at a very young age, because most children who get spanked at some point were also taught one of the very early lessons of don't hit, don't steal.
Yeah.
And it's one of the greatest contradictions that so many kids all around the world are taught all the time. Don't hit, don't steal, but we'll hit you if you hit or steal.
Wow, that segment got over quick. And so when we come back, you know, well, I mean, I really would like to touch on the Sterling Lujan article. Very quickly, I wish we'd had more time to talk about it, but oh well.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
So earlier, I brought up Sterling Lujan's website, psychologicanarchist.com. I love it. And there is a article in there, and we're not going to have a whole lot of time to talk about it. I wish we had more time because it's a great article. It's called Anarchy in a Motion Toward a Softer Aesthetic for Freedom. And I mean, to me, in a way, in a lot of ways, it touches on what we were just talking about. And having, you know, there was, you know, it talks a lot about having empathy and that type of thing. And one of the posts that I had read on Facebook had to do with, you know, how do you have empathy for your children and at the same time make sure that they don't grow up to be buttholes kind of thing? and you know, and the point I had was that how can you properly discipline your children unless you do have empathy for them? Anyway, so, you know, just I was kind of backtracking a little bit, but, you know, I want to kind of get into this article a little bit more. And I don't know, this article really spoke to me because early on, probably one of the very first shows I did, and I wish Michael was on here because he might remember this, we talked about an article written by Jeffrey Tucker that was it was rebutted by He Who Shall Not Be Named, but it's called Against Libertarian Brutalism, and Lujan or Sterling actually references this article, and this is one of the very first articles that I talked about on the show ever, and it's kind of, we're doing a full circle thing here, mm-hmm. But you know, he talks about the different sort of anarchist types, and I think that these are things that he's sort of posited as far as the difference between a hard anarchist and a soft anarchist. And a soft anarchist allows kind of a more holistic approach, like recognizing that we're not, you know, that as an anarchist, yes, it's really important to use reason because so many statists don't use reason. They appeal to emotion, and aren't terribly rational in their arguments, for the state. and I do think it's important to be rational. I think it's important to be logical, and at times, I mean, I definitely believe in stoicism, and I try to adhere to that as much as possible. But I don't necessarily think that being stoic means that you don't also, you know, have emotions. It's just that with, you know, having emotions doesn't mean, kind of like puking all your crap all over everybody around you all the time. You know, I think there, you know, there's definitely a balance with that. You know, it's, you know, I'm going to stop saying we. I do my best to control my emotions, but I still have feelings and I still, you know, have a lot of, I have a lot of empathy for people who were formerly, or people who were in the position where I was formerly, because mm-hmm. I have been a hardcore statist in action. In my mind, yeah, in my mind, like I was definitely one of those that just didn't really know what else to do. You know, it was like, I know there's something wrong. I know there's something, you know, very messed up about this world and this country and everything, but I don't know what else to do but vote. And I don't know what else to do but support this candidate. And this just seems like the best thing to do to support, you know, the lesser two evils kind of thing. But, you know, so for me, when I hear people say that, it's frustrating, but at the same time, I cannot forget where I came from.
Sure. Yeah. I went through that stage where I was more frustrated with people that then I had to step back and realize exactly what you said. Well, yes, I was just there recently. So,
yeah.
See, my thing, we're going to run out of time, but the thing with Sterling's article, and Sterling's a friend of mine and I love his work. The only thing, even with that, the brutalist article of Jeffrey Tucker's, I think people are thinking a little too rigidly and looking at each other a little too rigidly, because I mean, I'm somebody who definitely falls on the more brutalist, you know, hard side, mm-hmm. but like you said, with stoicism, it doesn't mean you don't have them, it just means you keep them in check, and
right.
For problem solving purposes, logic and reason are the best way to go. Mm-hmm. You should try to take emotion out of that, whenever possible, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so too. But like in relating to other people, and this article touches on that a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe the next time that, you know, at least maybe when you and I are on together, we can delve into this a little bit more. And it's actually a series of three articles that he writes about this. But yeah, I mean, it's just like in relating to other people.